Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, Day 3, ASTD 2014 in Washington, D.C., and I'm excited about this guest.
So am I. This is we're in the home stretch, man. We are in full stride. I can't think of a better way to wrap up what has just been a marvelous experience than the way we're doing it with these last couple of conversations. This one is with a gentleman who is an IT trainer. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Jeff Parker. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Now, IT training, that must be a lot of fun, huh?
It is. It's a real continuous woo-hoo moment for me.
So. Both of you guys are sarcastic. You don't even need me on this one.
I tend to have just a little bit of sarcasm. We try to stay positive, right?
So now, what's it like training an IT guy?
Well, you're talking to an IT guy who needs to
train
for the most part. Non-IT guys or gals, but or people. But even the IT people I have to train, I think it can be, for me, quite rewarding because I've stayed in it for a long, long time. So I think I'm starting to get the hang of it now. But for me, I think one of the best things is watching the light bulb go on. I mean, I'm a great empowerer of people. I really like giving people the ability to do more and to help more and to become more efficient and more effective at what they do, or just, you know, be able to do something they could not do before, which is going to make them in turn more valuable to the organization. And hopefully it just gives them a better, you know, sense of balance in their work, and maybe it spreads into their life a little bit. They walk a little taller, they feel a little bit better about things and can reduce stress. So that's kind of my focus.
Man, that is
just in a nutshell.
So how'd you get into this line of work, and what do you like most about it?
Serendipitously, I sort of got into it a long, long time ago. Actually, I'm one of those people that started taking things apart when they were a little kid, and I couldn't put them all back together when I started and have them function. But
the breaking down part, you were really good at that.
That part I was good at, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Found out what they were made of. But so for me, it's been quite a long profession. I have over 30 years in the industry in various different areas. So it's a real passion for me. Every time I go off and do something else, I find out that was a mistake. It didn't work real well. Because of that, and because of my passion at sort of supporting people and helping people, and because I really am still a person that likes to have a lot of fun, that's kind of how I got into it. And it's been through a long career of lots and lots of learning, lots and lots of training, lots and lots of doing. I've got a professional degree, I've got lots of certifications, but far more importantly to me, I actually know what I'm doing, and that's all the experience.
Well, there you go. That's an interesting mix. You got credentials and genuine capacity to deliver.
It helps. It does help. I'm kind of an odd duck because I've seen in my
Well, you know, that's what they said about you before you came on the air.
They did? That's how they know me.
That might have been the exact words.
Yeah. Who's that weirdo? Yeah. He's an odd duck.
So in that time, you've been at this a long time. Surely it's changed.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Can you speak to that a little bit? How has the profession changed? And maybe with specific regard to how have you had to build new skills?
You know, it's a fantastic question. One of the things I do is I draw an analogy. If you've ever gone to an ice skating show, and in the ice skating show, they'll have all these ice skaters sort of link arms. Usually it's the pretty ladies in the center of the ice and start spinning around.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've
seen
that.
And then they got the ones that are left over on the edges. And the more people that join in, the faster they go until those last girls are really trucking to get just to the end and link arms. And that sucker's really moving, not at the center, but out at the edges. That's kind of like what I feel like I've got to do. I've really got to skate fast to keep up these days. And it has changed. In the early days, there were not a tremendous number of different things to study. We studied like one topic, we learned it well, perhaps we got a professional certification, maybe a degree, and we moved on to the next area of study. Now, in any one given area, there is such a depth and breadth to it. There's so many choices and so many options that I find you have to really take a strategic approach to your own learning and development, as well as to what you're going to be delivering to other people. This is not simply you learn one thing, go off and do it, and you're done. First of all, I think the learning continues. It's very much ongoing. And secondly, I think you've got to be very specific and strategic about what you do. In my context, the what you do is usually related to how is it going to benefit your organization. But just as an individual, when you pick a field or an area of study, you're going to be picking a very, very narrow slice and possibly expanding out as compared to we used to pick an area. You know, you don't learn something like just Windows anymore, what we used to learn, MS-DOS or Linux or anything like that. Now we learn 5 or 6 or 7 different operating environments, and then the programs, the apps, or the things that go within them, and maybe the languages to make them tick. I focus a lot more in my work on the actual apps that people use or applications so that they can do more.
Now, can you share maybe a glimpse of a day in the life? Like, how do you spend your day?
It starts with coffee.
Sounds a lot like ours, doesn't it?
But a day in the life generally will start with, usually just I know what my schedule is already calling for the day, so I'm going to just take a quick look at it. What are the key to-dos? What are the top 3 things I've got to get done? In addition to usually setting up some training. Now, for me, I'm either usually jumping on a plane to go somewhere, which I'll do a little bit ahead of time, or I might be training at our facilities locally, or more importantly these days, I'm doing virtual training. Virtual training could use any one or two or three different modes of communication. It could be video teleconferencing combined with computer sharing. It could be telephonic. It could be electronic. There's a bunch of different ways. So usually in my day, I pretty well know which way I'm going to be going about getting the job done. And then the fun comes in of actually finding out that the people that come in for the training aren't at perhaps the level I would expect or they said they were at.
Imagine
and
that.
Really? I know. No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. It can happen, right? And so that's where, for me, I've spent a lot of time learning to what I call flex my style so that I'm not just pouring information over people like hot fudge over ice cream. I need to know what do they know, where are they, what can I deliver to them that's going to be most meaningful right now, when they need it, just in time, and make the most impact on them. What we used to call the biggest, you know what, for the buck, but we now call it the most meaningful and relevant information.
Now, is it a challenge to go from all those different what is it called, where you're going from a virtual to in-person, and sometimes you're talking, you know, one-on-one with somebody, sometimes there's, you know, 50 people?
I think the biggest challenge, for me, no, not particularly. I think the big challenge comes when it's blended, meaning when I've got 20 people in the room in front of me and I've got 20 people electronically.
Oh, it's same
That's
time.
A challenge.
That would sounds like that would be a tough dance.
Yeah, it is. And I've got to make sure that everybody's keeping up where I am physically and over the electronic means. I don't do a ton of those because they tire me out, honestly. But they can be a blast, though. I mean, I always try and keep, and I'm a little bit, again, I'm sort of, I marched my own drummer about this, but I really try and keep that element of fun in the training that I do, because I really believe if people are not relaxed, if they're not having some version of fun, they're not going to learn as much. If they have their colleagues sitting next to them and they're terrified that, oh my God, you know, what if they find out I don't really know how to do formulas even though I said I did,
right?
You know? Or their boss. I mean, it can be even, you know,
right, that's even more pressure.
You can have a lot of tension there. So I really try to cut through that and get down to the level. I try and break down the boundaries really between where they think I might be and where they are, so that they can feel a little bit more comfortable. I do stupid things. I'll ask them, you know, what's today's date again? You know, obviously I know the date.
Still
but, well, I want them interactive, but I want, you know, I'll make mistakes. I'll be like, what was that? How do you say that again?
You know. So you make a mistake on purpose for
Absolutely.
Them to catch it and then be the hero,
man,
right?
That's sly.
Well, it gets them more engaged, believe it or not, but then they go, oh my God, he's human too. He makes mistakes. Maybe I can learn this. So, I mean, for me, you know, it really helps to be far more interactive. There's another thing I do that's kind of funny. Everybody comments on it. I don't give people name tags. I learn their names. Now, wow. It means you may be Fred for a while, which I tell them. I've had a lot of people get new names. Sometimes they like them better. Yeah, but when I get to know them a little bit and interact, and they really like this, then they'll pick up on that I'm really trying to get to know them, and you know, I care.
And make that connection.
Yeah, make a connection.
Now, how did you go through this conference? What did you like? Did you go to the education, the vendors?
Oh, yeah.
What's the part that you get the most out of?
It's really hard to say what I get the most out of. It's all
okay. What's good, the second most out of? What do you get the second most?
There's three key vendors that I came to see. Actually, I sat down with all my literature and everything that you know I got before the show and started. I know it sounds weird, but I actually wanted to plan out ahead of time what.
Really,
I
you're
wanted
a planner.
To go see.
I would never
planner.
Have guessed that.
No, I know. I was strategizing that. So I did that, and I was very excited. And then serendipitously, again, I bumped into a bunch more companies that I wouldn't have even thought of going to, but they have things that are very relevant.
So you planned some serendipity time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's level two there, baby. That's an advanced game.
And I'm not a trick-or-treater anymore. I've been to so many shows that I don't want that bag to weigh more than 50 pounds. I mean, it's like, and I don't need a lot of this stuff. I take the things that are important, relevant, meaningful, and leave the rest. Sorry, guys, you have to bring it back home or for the other people that need it. That and the educational sessions have been just over the top.
What any education that stands out?
Yeah, I was just talking to you about that whole concept of strategic learning or strategic needs analysis.
What about the neuroscience? You into that?
Not the neuroscience per se.
No, you're not buying that? You're not getting on that bandwagon?
No, I'm not there yet. but I'm really looking at blended learning situations and companies really enabling the employees to take control of their own learning and development. And
so personal accountability you like?
Yeah, I kind of like that better. But I also think we're going to have to find a solution for what are we going to do with all this mobility and technology? It's like, again, we're getting to overload stage.
Right.
And there's no standards yet, and we're going to have to evolve some standards. And after the big we're going to have to come back to, okay, how's this all going to work? You know, what can we afford? What's going to balance outright? And speaking of balance, with all this mobility, what about work-life balance and, you know, lots of things like that.
Oh, that's right. So, when it's mobile, now it's around you 24/7.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't like that?
Not so much. I'm old now. So when I was young, I loved it because it's like, you know, always on and, oh, you can always do this, and I was a night owl. But now I'm like, yeah, I need my sleep and my Keurig.
Before we wrap, are there some coordinates where other professionals can reach out to you, maybe have conversations about this kind of stuff, and you guys can collaborate and you can share some of your
absolutely.
Wisdom?
Absolutely. Can I give them my email address?
Yes, sir. Whatever sure. works for you.
Don't laugh, guys, but it's obiwan324@gmail.com. Everybody's nodding. obiwan324@gmail.com. So. Is the best way to reach me, just because I can't give out my government one, and you know.
Yeah,
easiest.
Before we went on air, we learned that he's kind of cleared for weird, and there's different stuff he can talk about, and a lot of stuff he can't talk about. But what a fun and informative conversation!
Thank you,
Jeff Parker. Thanks so much for visiting with us, man.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys, and we appreciate all you're doing. This has been phenomenal exposition. It's been great.
Okay, we will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.